on to an ordinance item, which is 658.
658, approve the South Waterfront North District Development Agreement between Portland Development Commission and ZRZ Realty Company, and direct the Bureaus of Transportation, Parks and Recreation, Environmental Services, Housing, Planning and Sustainability, and Development Services to work with Portland Development Commission to develop intergovernmental agreements to implement public obligations as specified in the development agreement.
And why don't you read 659 as well, please? Mm-hmm.
Authorize an intergovernmental agreement between the Portland Development Commission and the Portland Bureau of Transportation for Southwest Bond Avenue 30% design and further design of specific segments of Southwest Bond Avenue as triggered by design of adjacent development in the North McAdam urban renewal area not to exceed $500,000.
Okay, this is a long-awaited discussion about some important documents for a part of the city where we've had big hopes and dreams, some of them now actually coming true. And we have a presentation to start off from Patrick Quinton and Geraldine Moyle from PDC, followed by some invited testimony from Jada Seidel and his team and others as well. So let me start off by asking Patrick and Geraldine to walk us through the staff recommendations.
Yes. Good morning, Mayor Hales. Good morning, Commissioners. This is a milestone day, and so we're very happy to be here. As the mayor mentioned, I'm joined by Geraldine Moyle, who will basically do the presentation. I'll kick it off, but I just do want to acknowledge up front the incredible staff work that's happened over a very long period of time. Geraldine and I go way back personally on this. Working at South Waterfront was my first assignment at PDC, and Geraldine has been working on this the entire time, so it's been 5-6 years on this alone, and it's taken a lot of work by a lot of people, both within the city, PDC, as well as our partners with ZRZ. So I do want to just acknowledge all the great work. So we're here today to ask for you to adopt both the development agreement that you're all very familiar with between PDC and ZRZ Realty and other city bureaus, and as well as authorize PBOT to enter into to an IGA to begin work on the initial work on Bond Avenue. I just want to highlight, as part of adopting the development agreement, one of the things you're doing is, in addition to agreeing to all the provisions within the agreement, it's the council's action provides direction to all the city bureaus that are part of the development agreement for them to begin to work on their pieces of it, and it, according to the time frames established there, so that because there will be a series of IGAs that come about as a result of this work. But the two actions today are to adopt the development agreement and to authorize PBOT to enter into the IGA on Bond. We, a few months back, came to you to talk about to act on the urban renewal area changes. We spent a lot of time talking about projections for resources within the North McAdam urban renewal area, and you could recall that we talked a lot. We talked about these two different scenarios, the scenarios of what it looks like an amended urban renewal area without a development agreement with ZRZ and one with. We adopted the urban renewal area change to North McAdam under the base assumption, and that's what you see there on the left. We are now what we're now have the opportunity to realize is actually the more optimistic resource scenario that comes from development happening on the ZRZ property, and you can see the expanded resources here. And more importantly, what it does is it opens up a pot of resources for us to truly fulfill our affordable housing obligations. You see the $13 million increase there. In addition, you see the ability for us to put money towards significant open space outcomes, both on the greenway as well as the down payment on the purchase of a parcel of land for Ross Island Bridge Park. So we really do have the opportunity to fulfill the vision of South Waterfront through the adoption of the development agreement. As I mentioned, the vision for South Waterfront, if you go beyond the actual dollars that we're putting to work and what the city's outcomes are, you can see here the broader outcomes. When South Waterfront was created, when the North McAdam New Array was created, we talked about things like 10,000 jobs, housing units, obviously affordable housing units as part of that. And there was kind of midpoint. People were saying, well, South Waterfront's a failure. We're not achieving those outcomes. And I think we're now seeing that it's actually going to be possible to get there. But unlocking development in this part of South Waterfront is really what's going to get us there. And it's because of the other investments that are happening as well as what the city will do. The most important ones are the opening of light rail, which is slated to happen in a few months now, and we can already see the excitement on both sides of the river and what that's going to mean for development. We didn't know about the Night Cancer Challenge when the district was created many years ago, but we now see that's going to happen, and we can see what's going to happen in terms of the build-out on the OHSU campus, and we think there'll be significant spillover effects from that. And of course, now we're here to talk about what can happen on the property owned by the Zidell family. That provides the significant opportunity for private development to happen. Everything that happens on OHSU is basically non-taxable development. So the private development really is going to happen on the ZRZ property. And before I turn over to Geraldine, next one. Just want to I did talk about the beginning, the length of time that we've been working on this, and I'm not going to run through this in great detail, but I do think this is an example of the kind of the power of this type of long-term thinking when we think about how to make catalytic development happen in this city. This is not an overnight process. It's very different than individual projects. It's very different than conceiving of a building and then you're going through design review and whatnot. This is bringing together parties with diverse interests. You're thinking about how to create outcomes that are 20, 30 years out. And so this timeline shows you what has happened over the past 5 years. It hasn't been a completely linear process. But it never is. But it took bringing together all the different parties. It took something as significant as light rail to bring parties together to talk about the alignment, and then that partnership led to negotiations around this, and it also included bringing together different city bureaus and beginning to think about their own objectives for this. Zidell, obviously, they've made a significant investment in the cleanup of their property. So a lot has happened during the time period that we've supposedly nothing has been happening, and now we're actually here at a point where we can realize the benefits of all this work. So with that, I'll turn it over to Geraldine, who can walk through the elements of the development agreement.
So I'm Geraldine Moyle with the Portland Development Commission, and I'm going to walk you through the phasing and some details from the development agreement. The first phase is from 2014 to 2017, and we've structured the agreement such that the public infrastructure is aligned with the private development. So as private development occurs, our public investment in infrastructure occurs. So with OHSU's Night Cancer Center projected to be open in 2018, the first part of Bond Avenue is built, and that's the part that connects from River Parkway to Porter Avenue. With Zidell's Block 6 project, we build another part of Bond Avenue, what we call the Moody Connector, which provides access back to Moody and access through the district, and that's projected to be in July 2017 in terms of construction start. And with Zidell's Block 4 project, we build another part of Bond Avenue, the part from Wood Street to Grover Street. I think the important thing to note is we only initiate that design if they're also building Block 6 concurrently so that we can exercise efficiencies in our Bond Avenue construction. And finally, with their Block 1 project, which is adjacent to the existing Emory building, there would be the potential to underground and overhead PP&L line that's adjacent to the project. We also start to look at some district systems with phase one, so phase one stormwater district systems and also energy, so district energy system, and mostly it's focused on viability. With phase two and three, which is projected to be 2018 through 2025, Zidell is projected to have 1 million square feet of development. And with that 1 million square feet, our focus in public investment is on the greenway. So that's the greenway from the Markham Bridge to the Ross Island Bridge and a connector back to Moody Avenue. The thing to note is the development agreement triggers design of the greenway with design of projects in phase two. We don't actually construct until we have 750 or $75 million, excuse me, of assessed value, because that provides the TIF projected to do the greenway. So it's tied to the assessed value of the projects that Zidell would bring online. In addition, there's an affordable housing option in phase two, and that option is highlighted in the purple square or rectangle, and we'll go into more detail on that in a moment. We also start a park partnership with the Zidells in regards to where a park might be, size, location, and programming-wise. And the district systems are constructed, so that's district stormwater and district energy. Finally, there's a phase three that could be included if a development occurs prior to the end of the URA in 2025. And we've structured the development agreement such that if there is additional TIF available, PDC has the ability to use that TIF for additional work in the district. That's Bond Avenue, Grover to Gibbs, which completes the couplet, the Bond-Moody couplet that provides district access, and then also the greenway component that is south of the Ross Island Bridge to Gibbs. I think the other thing to note is as phase two development gets to 75,000 or 750,000 square feet of development, that triggers that final piece of bond into design as well, because we need that final piece in order to have the couplet complete. Just a summary of the investment of public and private dollars with the development agreement. There's $24 million of TIF invested in infrastructure. There's an additional $4 million in TIF affiliated with the Knight Cancer Center, and that's the piece of bond that's north of Porter. Additional public investment with other entities is $7 million, which is about $35 million total of public investment in infrastructure. On the Zidell private side, there's an equal amount of investment in infrastructure, so that's their work to date on the greenway. That is the East-West Streets, another infrastructure within the district or within their development. And finally, the development agreement outlines 1.5 million square feet of expected private development and an assessed value of $210 million. We need that $210 million of assessed value to get the $35 million or the $24 million of TIF that then allows us to do our investments. We're now going to focus on some of the details. In regards to North McAdam and the affordable housing approach, the 2003 housing goals for North McAdam included 479 units serving 0 to 60% MFI. Achieved to date, you'll see in this graph, is 209 units with the Gray's Landing project. And in April of this year, an RFP was issued for River Place Parcel 3, which is at the north end of the district. This RFP included a program requirement for a minimum of 200 affordable housing units serving 0 to 60% MFI, and of those units for 90 to serve 0 to 30% MFI. We have three proposals that were received for that RFP, and the selection committee and evaluation committee is currently reviewing those proposals. We also are including an affordable housing option in the development agreement with the Zidell. So this is a summary of that option. You can see that the purple dash that we looked at on a prior map is now this yellow rectangle on this graph or map. And the PHB option includes the ability to purchase a parcel in development capacity of at least 180,000 gross square feet within that yellow rectangle. And depending on the unit mix, that equates to approximately 200 units. The option in the development agreement includes an understanding of appraisal instructions in terms of title encumbrances, environmental conditions, and any demolition that might need to occur on the site. And as that timeline is worked out, we will have a purchase price for that property in July 2016. That option will also include an escalation rate that's based on the CPI up until the time that that option is executed, and we're projecting that that option would be executed in 2021. So with River Place Parcel 3 currently underway and this project, those are two projects that could forward the North Macadam affordable housing goals.
The appraisal process sometimes is cumbersome, and it has not always worked as smoothly as we would have liked in other settings. What have we learned elsewhere that is informing the way we're establishing the mechanism here to establish a fair price, fair to the developer, fair to the public?
So we have learned from the most recent projects that it's important that the appraisal and the purchase price be agreed on now, and that the escalation rate be agreed on as well. So there's an understanding of what we're purchasing and what price we're purchasing, so that the ability to accumulate those funds for purchasing that property is pretty clear. We've set up the appraisal approach such that both PHB and Zidell are getting appraisals concurrent. And if there's a disagreement or a discrepancy between those two, there's a third-party appraisal outlined already.
And my understanding is that Commissioner Saltzman would be the third party to make that call. Is that correct?
Sure. Okay.
And so if you just contrast this with the current negotiations with Hoyt Street around that property, that's the difference, is the appraisal would be happening up front, so you don't have these disagreements over how much the city's investment contributed to the value. You're basically doing at the beginning of the process. So we take out that whole judgment call that has to happen, whatever, 10 years out. You know, what's the value of public investment? So I think that's one of the big lessons. And Javier is here if you want to ask
fine.
Me.
Yeah. The earlier chart showed the after parcel 3, what's left at 0 to 60, and it looks like with this particular parcel to be determined, we can satisfy almost all of the remaining obligations at 0 to 60. Is that correct?
That's my understanding.
Yes. Yes.
And so by July of next year, the parcel and the purchase price will be agreed upon?
By July of next year, the purchase price will be agreed upon. The actual location is somewhere within that yellow rectangle.
Well, you'll have an agreement on the price, and you'll have an agreement on the escalation, but the purchase price will ultimately be what that number is calculated at the end, because it's determined based on how many years it takes and what the CPI has been over that time period. So,
and are you guesstimating that the option will be execute in 2021, because you're factoring in first the completion of the block 3 and then the additional TIF being generated, or what's the assumption behind 2021?
Part of it is the two things you mentioned. Another part is that building is currently being leased to OHSU, and their lease is up in that timeline, and we'd like to know if we're moving forward with that PHB project before OHSU is asked to leave the building. One of the other components of the development agreement is the parks partnership. And so this slide shows an outline of the timeline for that partnership. By October of 2018, Zidell and the city will enter into an open space concept plan process, which will focus on the Ross Island Bridge Park in terms of determining the size, location, conceptual design, and potential programming for that park. It will also take into consideration the Greenway concept and could initiate Greenway concept design prior to the construction of that. It will take into consideration the Zidell Yard's other open space included in their development, and it will also consider what development is being proposed on phase 2 around the potential park. We wanted to make sure that there was opportunity for the new users, if you will, the employees and residences of Zidell Yards to have some input into that process. The concept plan process ends in an acquisition option, and that's projected to be 2019 through 2021. And that option outlines a timeline for acquisition, a purchase price for the park property, and a construction schedule for the design and development of that park. And in 2022, you might recall from our URA amendment budget that we have projected $5 million dollars to go towards the acquisition of the park. Another thing to note is that post-acquisition, detailed park design occurs on that park, and that includes a public design process. So for the actual what that park would look like and the components of it, that's part of the detailed park design process. And finally, there is the ability within the development agreement for Zidal to fund construction of the park in exchange for SDC credits as permitted currently by the code, and or Zidal may choose to donate property for the park as well.
And parks may choose to accept it or not, depending on
Correct.
Whether we've agreed. I know the answer to this question. I know that's come up in public testimony. Why did we not have a similar agreement for parks in terms of the purchase price versus the Housing Bureau discussion that you just had?
In terms of the timeline?
Yes, for parks, it's market value at the time of the sale versus the current cost pre-public improvements.
So I think that could be part of the acquisition option. We need to go through the open space concept plan process first to determine the size and location. The acquisition option includes the purchase price and could include a similar escalation scale, if you will, that's tied to CPI. That needs to be negotiated as part of the acquisition.
And is there any limit on the expectation of system development charges from outside of the site of the North Macadam URA being used for purchasing the park?
At this point, we've identified $5 million of PDC TIF. This timeline allows the Parks Bureau to identify additional funds for the acquisition of the park.
Is there an expectation that there will be unlimited funds, that the sky's the limit in terms of the purchase price?
I don't think there's an expectation that there would be unlimited funds if TIF and SDCs cannot fund all of the acquisition. We would have to seek other funding, like grants or other public agency funding.
I will just add that from my perspective as a Parks Commissioner, there are many parks needs citywide and especially in the central city. And so my expectation is that it's not an unlimited amount that would be available for parks in this area, although I certainly appreciate the collaboration and the expectation that we're going to be able to get to an agreement both on the open space concept plan and also on the purchase price.
But the development agreement, I don't think it doesn't commit parks to purchase the property, so there's no commitment on the expenditure of parks funds.
That was the answer that I was thinking of.
Yeah.
One of the other components of the development agreement is district stormwater. So what we've outlined in the development agreement is a partnership with primarily with the Bureau of Environmental Services, but also with PDC, PBOT, parks, and other bureaus that may have a part in district stormwater. One of the things we need to do is solve the stormwater solution for not only the Zidal Yards private development, but also for Bond Street and the park and affordable housing. So this partnership builds on an EPA grant that the city and Zidal jointly acquired a couple years ago that looked at district systems. And this slide, you can see a few of the opportunities for district stormwater that were explored. And that partnership will continue to explore opportunities for public and private green infrastructure, mixing those waters, if you will, and explore the potential to exceed the city's existing requirements as well. And again, the solution is needed to serve both public and private projects within the Zidal Yards master plan.
I think it's worth noting that the reason this piece of the deal is so complicated is that we didn't have the opportunity to connect into the big pipe.
Correct.
So we have to do a sort of workaround and create a district stormwater solution.
But also, this is one of the, it doesn't get a lot of attention, but this is one of the benefits to negotiating a development agreement like this. You get to address other infrastructure needs on a district scale and be thoughtful about it at the beginning and anticipate. We can anticipate the amount of development that's going to happen, and then we can plan for a master solution that I think has much better outcomes for the public.
Finally, as part of the development agreement, all of PDC's current policies apply to the private and public projects within the DA, and that includes our business equity program, our workforce equity program, the South Waterfront Project Apprenticeship Agreement, which I'll provide a little more detail on shortly, our green building policy, and the 2% for art policy, where on public infrastructure projects with PDC dollars, 2% goes towards art. In regards to the South Waterfront Apprenticeship Agreement, the development agreement includes an update to this agreement. It was first established with the Central District Development Agreement, and the new updated apprenticeship agreement revises the boundary for the policies and requirements of this agreement to include OHSU properties in South Waterfront. So that's not only their Central District properties, but it's also their Snitcher campus, and then also the Zidell Yards properties. So the properties you see on this map that are in pink would be subject to the South Waterfront Apprenticeship Agreement. And this agreement requires all projects to meet PDC's equity policy procedures and specifications focused on minority, women, and emerging small businesses. And finally, the other item before you today is to authorize the PDC PBOT IGA for Bond Avenue Design. So this IGA is for $500,000 in fiscal year 15-16, and it focuses on 30% design of Bond Avenue for the full alignment. We need to understand how the road connects at Gibbs and at River Parkway and what the elevations and general design of the full Bond Avenue is, and then it will further the design of certain segments affiliated with adjacent OHSU and Zidell design and construction. So you might remember from the phase one slide, we build a piece of bond as OHSU builds their building. We build another piece of bond as Zidell builds their Block 6 project, and another piece with Block 4. This sets the stage for initiating and furthering those designs of each piece as they initiate and further their design of their adjacent projects. With that, we'll also refine our construction costs. And construction, which is also funded with TIF, would come under a separate IGA before you once we know those construction costs have been finalized. And finally, the IGA is subject to approval of the development agreement.
Okay. Questions for Patrick or Geraldine at this juncture? We obviously may have more at the end, but questions now? All right, thank you both.
Thank you.
And now I'd like to call Jay Zidell and Matt French and Dennis Allen from CRZ. Good morning, and come on up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Jay Zidell, president of the Zidell Companies.
They're going to let you go
first.
Silent
partners.
You're on your own, Jay.
Okay. For the record, I have Matt French on my right, and I have Dennis Allen on my left.
We know how shy they are, so that's why you had to do that.
Exactly. Yeah. Mayor Hales, Commissioners Fish, Fritz, Novick, and Saltzman, I want to thank you for the opportunity to appear before you today. I first started working on a full-time basis nearly 45 years ago, and have been coming to the same office for that entire time period on Moody Avenue. During that period, we have seen enormous change in the area, which has gone from a nearly industrial district to a rapidly transitioning new neighborhood. Our family has in one way or another been operating at the Moody Avenue site since 1929, nearly 86 years. And it is fair to say that the Zidell family looks at our property through a special lens. 15 years ago, as a family, we engaged in some deep soul searching as it relates to what we wanted to see happen on our property. Together, we concluded that our desires were to see the site become something quite special for both the family and the city that we have lived and operated our businesses in. With your efforts months back to extend the URA and the joint efforts of our team and the city that has culminated with the development agreement we are discussing here today, the table has been set for us to continue to work together in a public-private partnership that will lead to the development of our property within South Waterfront into an exciting, vibrant, and diverse neighborhood that we will all be able to take great pride in. As you know, we have spent the last year or more working on development ideas for Block 1, 4, and 6 projects. We have an incredible opportunity in front of us. And with the DA behind us, we look forward to rolling up our shirt sleeves and getting to work. Finally, I would like to take a minute and acknowledge in particular the efforts of Geraldine, Lisa, and Patrick on behalf of PDC and the city to get us to where we are today. Without their efforts, who knows where we'd be today. We've been at this for over 5 years, but we're down to the close to the goal line. Thank you very much, and we welcome your questions.
Thank you. Want to add anything, either of you, at this point? So, questions for the
team?
Hey,
I have one question. Based on your experience, what's harder, to craft a DDA with the city or to build a barge?
Do you want that on the record?
Good thing it doesn't.
Been a very interesting experience. Something that certainly I don't have a lot of experience at. It's had its ups and downs, but I think we're all going to be, we'll all be able to sit around years from now and look back at the great things we've accomplished.
Other questions for the ZRZ team? I just want to say thank you and your team for being patient negotiators and working with us, because it takes, contracts require two consensual parties. So, and it has to be a good deal for the city and a good deal for you. And we believe, obviously, that we're at that point. But it took patience and effort on your part of the table as well as on the PDC side. So thank you.
Thank you. And again, we really look forward to getting going on what's going to be a very exciting time for us.
I've heard that. I've heard that from your team. I'm interested in building a thing or two. So that's great. Thank you all very much.
Yeah, actually, Steve, may I say one more thing?
Yeah.
Mr. Zeidel, about 15 years ago, there was an article in The New Yorker about, it was focused on Philadelphia, and it said that in America it used to be that there were these families in every city that sort of were the civic culture of the city. They contributed to the opera, they sort of weighed in on major civic events, and now that's less and less true, that every company in America, it seems, is now owned by some other company in Houston or Phoenix or something. And the ones in Houston or Phoenix are owned by some company in St. Louis. And it's really good that we still have a few locally owned businesses and business people such as yourself, who think of yourself as full partners with the city, remain citizens of the city, controlling your own business and your own property. So I just wanted to say that I'm thankful that you're still here, been here since 1929 and working with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all. Thanks. Okay, I want to call on Lynn Michon from the South Portland Neighborhood Association, Sean Becker from the South Waterfront Retail Collaborative, and Michael Harrison from OHSU, please. Good morning. And you want to go first?
Good morning. I'm Len Michon, resident of South Waterfront, and a member of the board of the South Portland Neighborhood Association. Honorable Mayor Hales and council members, thank you for the opportunity today to speak about the ZRZ and PDC agreement. I'd like to congratulate the parties for arriving at an agreement that provides for the continued development of South Waterfront. And with the city's and PDC's obligation to provide funding for the extension of Southwest Bond Avenue, ultimately to provide one-way northbound traffic flow. The agreement appears to provide protections for each party involved. ZRZ is providing an option for PHB to purchase a lot during phase two of development for affordable housing And as we've already heard, this is in addition to Gray's Landing, which is now fully occupied, and to what is expected to be another affordable housing project at Parcel 3 on River Place. So South Waterfront really will be moving forward on its earlier commitments to affordable housing, which I think is very positive. I applaud the potential district energy system which OSU may develop and to which ZRZ buildings may ultimately connect for its environmental impact possibilities. I am pleased to see the agreement mentions the potential for funding a parking garage, although that's in the very, very back, since currently parking is at a premium, and certainly will be even more so as the development progresses. With any development as huge as ZRZ's, construction periods are extended 20 to 30 years, as we've heard. This result is based upon each building's design, city approvals, and construction. While the timeline is excruciatingly long, watching this development, I think, will be very interesting. Regarding the interim activation partnership, I'm pleased that the city may attempt to streamline city approvals for certain activities. However, I would urge that the citizen participation process not be shortchanged. Speaking as a resident of the district, the time frame is exceedingly long for the creation of quality of life amenities such as the Greenway and the Ross Island Bridge Park. However, the agreement does allow for construction of an interim Greenway, pedestrian and bike trails, which I encourage ZRZ to undertake. I understand that PPNR has received some limited grant funding and plans to design a portion of the Greenway starting this year. I would encourage a collaborative work with ZRZ in this effort. Speaking as a member of the SPNA board, I'm pleased to endorse the agreement and urge your yes vote on the resolutions before you. But I would hope that certain aspects of the process could be moved forward a little bit sooner. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Thanks, Lynn. Michael, you want to be next?
Sure. I'm Michael Harrison with OHSU. I appreciate the opportunity to be here to testify today. We're very excited to see the IGA between PDC and PBOT on the agenda, ensuring that the Bond Avenue extension on the Schnitzer campus can move forward on the same timeline as our Knight Cancer Research Building. The Knight Cancer Research Building, our purpose in building it is to advance the early diagnosis and treatment of cancer. But we're also pleased that our project will help the city advance their own jobs goals. For the construction of the building, for example, we have very aggressive MWESB goals, as well as partnership in the apprenticeship program that Geraldine mentioned earlier. Ultimately, with the Knight Cancer Research Building and the two other projects that we have in development, we'll also see probably more than 1,000 permanent jobs down in South Waterfront as well. Lastly, I want to applaud the city, both staff and the council members who directly engaged in negotiations as well for the successful completion, the successful development. It's not complete until it's voted on, but the successful completion of negotiations over the development agreement. We're really excited that South Waterfront will become a complete community over time and that there's a timeline that people can focus on. There's much to celebrate today and appreciate all the work. Thank you.
Thank you. Sean, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Sean Becker. I own and operate Sean Z. Becker Real Estate in South Waterfront. And first, let me say I'm excited by the Zidell property development. I think it's a wonderful thing for the neighborhood. I sit in a little bit of a unique perspective. I've been selling homes in South Waterfront since 2004. About a year ago, I purchased a commercial condo in South Waterfront, so I own and operate my business out of that space in South Waterfront. So I'm both a business owner, I'm an employer, I employ seven people, and I'm also a retailer in the neighborhood. And the one thing I recognized through this time period from about 2004 onward as the retail has developed is that there's been lack of cohesion, if you will, amongst all the retailers. There's kind of a disconnect and a breakdown. A lot of the retailers don't know each other. So my idea was born about a year ago to start this South Waterfront Retailer Collective. The idea was not to be a business association, et cetera. It was really pretty grassroots. The idea was that we all got to know each other on a first-name basis because I believe, having watched South Waterfront develop, I've been a homeowner in South Waterfront, so I know it well. To see the diversity in the neighborhood and see the neighborhood kind of develop, you know, with the Gray's Landing, for example, you have the Mirabella, these different ideas in the neighborhood and different faces of the neighborhood really have led to strengthening of the retail in the neighborhood. So what I wanted to have is all the retailers know each other on a first-name basis because we do all share the same clientele in South Waterfront. What I've witnessed and watched happen is that this diversity in the neighborhood, whether you're a luxury condo homeowner or you're, you know, an employee at OHSU, I mean, this helps drive the retail in the neighborhood. So as the South Waterfront continues to move forward, I'm a big fan of continuing this diversity in the neighborhood, whether it's affordable housing, whether it's OHSU employment, whether it's more market rate housing, which I'm always a fan of. But I think that diversity really leads to a complete neighborhood, and I think really the conversation South Waterfront is just another great neighborhood in the city of Portland, and I think the retailers play a big piece of that, and I think the clientele of the retailers help drive that forward. So I'm a big fan of continuing the diversity and the development of the Zidell property in South Waterfront.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Questions? Thank you all. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then the final two invited folks that I want to bring up are Dan Valliere from REACH and Rehana Ansari from Portland Business Alliance. So come on up.
Thank you, Mayor Hales and Commissioners. I'm Dan Valliere, CEO at REACH Community Development. Owner and manager of nearly 2,000 apartments, all affordable to households with lower incomes, including Gray's Landing. This agreement is an extremely important step toward meeting the original vision of the South Waterfront neighborhood. The vision at the outset was a community that includes an equitable share of affordable housing, affordable to households with lower incomes, particularly, as was pointed out, at certain income levels like 60% of median and below and 30% of median and below. Land in the South Waterfront area is appreciating continually given the ongoing investments in the area. And so the city's acquisition of land for the purpose of affordable housing is the right strategy. It also means that the process for developing the future housing will be a transparent process. It'll be an open process for selecting the developer for the site, for example, as is being done now on Parcel 3, which was mentioned, and that's a good thing. ZRZ and the Zidell family, as we've heard, are helping lead and have been helping lead the reimagining of the neighborhood for many years. And so it's very notable that the family is agreeing to sell property to the city expressly for the purpose of affordable housing. It demonstrates their long-held commitment to promoting inclusion in the neighborhood. And it could serve as a model across the city, too, of how to do things. The purchase price, for example, remains to be determined, but as we saw, there's a clear process outlined in the agreement of how that will be done. So I think that also is a good thing. Last thing I would say is approval today does not complete the work, not only on the development side, but on the affordable housing goals. It is true that combined with Parcel 3 and this new opportunity from the Zidell family, we can likely meet the goals that were set out and shown on the slides earlier. It's important to remember that those goals, when they were set, were associated with a number of 3,000 total housing units in the neighborhood, that was sort of the vision, and that goal was attached to kind of that first phase of 3,000 housing units. We're just about at that point. I believe we're about to cross that milestone. So there still is a conversation that needs to happen to clarify what goals would we have in the future as the neighborhood grows further. So there is work to be done still in affordable housing, even beyond this. But it's true that with this additional opportunity, we have come a long way in the past 18 months. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Morning.
Good morning, Mayor Hales and Commissioners. Rehana Hansari here on behalf of the Portland Business Alliance to testify in support of the South Waterfront North District Development Agreement. We believe the Portland Development Commission should focus on catalyzing private sector job growth, and this agreement is an effort to do that. We applaud the earlier extension and expansion of the North McAdam Urban Renewal Area, as it has largely made possible the city's investment and affordable housing components of this agreement. This public-private partnership between the city, PDC, and ZRZ Realty Company is mutually beneficial and reaffirms the party's longstanding commitment to economic development in South Waterfront. The agreement will accelerate development and result in more jobs and public benefits, ranging from transportation to open space to affordable housing. This prime waterfront property is the largest available site in the site left in the central city and is ripe for development, located near new transit lines and one of the region's largest employers, Oregon Health and Sciences University. Seizing these opportunities are key to promoting the innovation quadrant, where major projects have already led to transformative investments by local universities, developers, and employers. PDC and PBOT investments in infrastructure, including Bond Street, are critical to development in the area, and the commitment to build another segment of Greenway adds to the transportation and recreation assets that Portland is known for. With the adoption and execution of this agreement, Zidell Yards is perfectly positioned to become a vibrant mixed-use neighborhood, helping to achieve the city's economic and housing goals. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Thank you both.
Thanks.
And now let's turn to public testimony. Anyone that's signed up to speak?
Yes, we have seven people signed up. The first three, please, coming up are Alvin Hall, Lightning Watchdog X, and Barry Joe Stahl.
Okay, come on up, please. Alvin Hall, not here.
Okay, let's go with Leah Greenwood then.
Come on up. Lightning, I think you're on first. Go ahead.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog X. I like what I'm seeing here. I like the development agreement. I do want to see it finalized. A couple concerns, I guess, I have on the affordable housing parcel. I want to kind of see that maybe tightened up a little bit. I know you're going into an option type situation, and based upon the environmental, the title, and other various issues. But at a certain point when we determine the price, based upon hopefully we can do it with two appraisers within a range, I'd like to see that tightened up a little bit to where there really isn't an out by the city, that they do commit. They commit to a price. They commit to a time frame. And they deliver the funds to these Zidell companies. So I don't really want to have the city have an out at a certain point. So I'd like to maybe have that tightened up a little bit, especially on the environmental issues, relying upon Zidell companies' information on that. I want the independent studies done by the city, relied upon that information, make your determination. Now, another issue I have on the park, I want to see, as Commissioner Fritz said, I'd like to see some type of a price established, at least at a certain time frame, how much property will be purchased. I understand PDC will do a $5 million toward that. I understand by the drawings that it's going to be waterfront. One of the things I have is that on the waterfront developments of the parks, to me, the river is an extension of the park and the properties. And what I want to see here is that I want to see something else looked at a little bit closer on this, something to do out on the water. I want to see access to boats, whether they're just small boats that people can utilize from the local area there, and then head up to, say, Marine Drive to their other boats. I want a little bit more emphasis on the water. And I know that the Zidell company, it appears as though you will be ending your business there, if I'm correct, at a certain time. Possibly that's in the future. That's just my opinion. But what I'd like to see there is maybe even some type of a museum dedicated to the Zidell company, possibly on a floating barge located at a certain location. Have it as the museum and also as a art-type gallery get-together, something out on the water that brings people to the water. And I'd like to see maybe the Zidell company and family look at that as a Zidell Maritime Museum. And I think that's very important to have that in the city and in this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Stahl, thank you next.
Good morning, Council. Barry Joe Stahl. And we have a couple of things to say. Where's Commissioner Fish when I go to talk? We actually had an affordable housing memorial he participated in here, I'm going to guess about 2008. And what we calculated was pretty much the one-night street count of homeless people was almost exactly the same as the affordable housing, which had disappeared. South Waterfront did not build the promised affordable housing. Now that the property values have escalated because of all the city's funding and the development and putting in the road and the streetcar, now we're thinking about how much we're going to spend in future prices to put in a park. No. Not my city. See, I come from the city of Portland, Oregon, and across the way over here, we have a park that was donated to the city. That's what good people do when they're rich, is they become philanthropists. I think the Zidell Corporation has plenty of money to build that park, and I think that $5 million will go a long ways to addressing the housing crisis that we have. Let me repeat myself, because we never built the promised affordable housing when we developed that whole area and changed it from the toxic waste site that it was. We have remediated that as a society. And now what? We're going to buy it back to put in a park? No. We have already paid. We all have already paid. I paid plenty. And here's what I know about how this kind of system works. I know Commissioner Fritz used to volunteer at Sisters of the Road Cafe. And I had an interesting question for them back in the day. And it's like, well, how come it costs $1.25 cash to buy your meal here, but if you buy it with food stamps at the time, it only costs a dollar? The answer was, for every dollar of food stamp purchase, Sisters of the Road Cafe got reimbursed $1.25. So imagine that. You're living in a world where you go to the store because you have a job and you buy something, but if you're a poor person, when you go to the store, they get 25% on top just for accepting you as a customer. That's what I'm looking at here. So I'm going to let you all go, and I'll give you a harder time on things I'm much more experienced with.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Mayor and Commissioners, my name's Leah Greenwood, and my history in working in North McAdam is closer to 13, 14 years. I previously served as housing policy manager at the Portland Development Commission. A couple of things I just wanted to highlight. The League of Women Voters will be testifying later, and they'll identify in their testimony some of the details about the development agreement. That aren't ideal, and so I support the recommendations that they'll bring forward and won't address them here. But I did want to say thank you for stopping the process and asking ZRZ and PDC to kind of go back to the table and look at how they could address affordable housing in the development agreement. I know doing that at a late date doesn't put PDC in the greatest position of leverage, and I think that what they have proposed is a long ways from where we were just a couple of months ago. So it is exciting to see this is a historic development agreement, both as it relates to the residential development, but just the development and economic development that will come from development of that property. One of the things I did want to address is, as a number of folks have said already, this agreement itself isn't the only thing that needs to happen in the district as it relates to affordable housing. I wanted to highlight that when the district was being created, there was a jobs housing group, and it was focused on housing jobs and jobs housing balance, which at the time was the buzzword. Now we talk about workforce housing. We can call it whatever we want, middle income housing. It's the whole range. But I wanted to highlight that the jobs housing group that focused on the balance acknowledged the transportation constraints in this district and the importance of creating opportunity, residential opportunities for the workers in the district and the workers at OHSU because of the investment that the city was going to make in that transportation infrastructure. The Jobs Housing Committee felt, and this was directly from the housing strategy, Jobs Housing Committee felt that obtaining a profile of affordability was essential to gaining citywide support of the urban renewal investment and would allay fears that the district would become an exclusive high-end enclave. So these were the discussions that we were having before we even approved the urban renewal district. And I do think right now we have one affordable housing project. I would argue that everything else is a high-end enclave. We do have, OHSU does own significant land in the district, and I'd ask that the city work with OHSU to find how we can commit some of that land for residential development, affordable housing, and workforce housing. OHSU still owes PDC $2 million. The value of that probably is about $2.4, $2.5 million, looking at inflation, not taking into account opportunity costs. And we know from a survey in 1999 that 88%, at that time, 88% of the employees at OHSU made less than $50,000. One-third of the employees at OHSU made less than $20,000. So I really want to see that we're having a conversation about how both affordable housing and housing at 80% median income really does support OHSU and the work they're doing and our economic investment in the district. So let's see how we can turn that $2 million into something that is supportive of our broader commitments in the district.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay. Take the next three, please.
Are Laura Campos, Debbie Iona, and Philip Sellinger.
Okay. I like that idea. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Laura Campos, and I've been testifying about this for 32 years. I even brought my historic Sinter Zeidel Master Plan 1986 document. But I want to make a point that with all due respect to the Zeidel family that has lived here for 86 years, Native Americans occupied this land for much longer. Not that I'm representing the Native community, but I am Native American. I moved to Portland in 1977 to work for Mayor Goldschmidt to work on the comp plan and the Greenway. I also know that our neighborhood plan was passed in 1977 and talked about redeveloping this site. So I've lived about eight blocks. Well, I used to live six blocks, but then they filled in two blocks of the river. So now I live eight blocks from the river since 1981 in the historic Lair Hill neighborhood. Everyone seems to forget that this area was a floodplain. And this map shows that. And I want to thank Amanda. I know that I had a lot to do with mentoring her in her early stages for planning. And I want to thank her for saying that there are not unlimited funds for park purchase. Thank you. And I want to go further. This site has been largely illegal fill that harmed the Willamette River back in the 80s, and my neighborhood at that time testified against that. The property owners, in my opinion, stole land from the public and should not profit from their wrongdoing. Secondly, in regards to the stormwater problem, the problem was created by the property owners, the Zeidels. There wouldn't be a stormwater problem if they hadn't illegally filled the river. So as Native Americans, we know that this area was a natural wetland that adequately handled the stormwater. I know your exasperation, and I'm just living in the past. But I think it's significant when we're spending a lot of public money to step back and take a wider view. The illegal fill caused significant harm to wildlife, plants, animals, and as my people know, this violates a sacred connection between man and environment. So we're creating an imbalance, and I'm not grateful. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Good morning.
Hi. I'm Debbie Iona, representing the League of Women Voters. Today I'll focus on several points from the written memo we submitted. The DA places deadlines on the city's acquisition and development of the park and the affordable housing parcels. TIF will be needed to finance those projects. The availability of TIF depends entirely on when ZRZ develops its properties. It is important to